Father, I thank you and I praise you for those who came out into the house tonight to be fed your fresh manna from heaven. Father God, I thank you for the love that you poured out upon us tonight. I thank you for your holy presence. I thank you, Father God, for the angelic host who are truly here. And I'm asking you to open up the people's spiritual eyes and let them see your angelic host. Minister to your people, Father God, through your teaching. Let them leave here, Father God, more enriched than when they came. And Father, I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You know, there's just so much going on. I read this afternoon where I forgot where it was at. I think someplace overseas, where they're going to cover the crosses up in the graveyard because they don't want to offend the Muslim. And then I read where foreigners are coming into the country, want to be able to drive without a driver's license. We aren't supposed to make them have a driver's license. And I just read on and on and on and on, and I'm wondering where's America headed. I hope you're reading these things. I hope you're praying about them. Because if you don't, the enemy's going to take over. And he's going to do his thing. I'm hearing God say he's already raging war with America. And if the saints don't stand up and intercede the way they ought, where America's going to end up then. See, God speaks a word over America, what he wants to do with us. But then we as intercessors, we have to pray. I just can't say this is terrible. I have to pray that the enemy won't have his way in these different things that he's trying to do. Amen. It's a sad state that we're in, the body of Christ and all others, right? God titled this, now God didn't prophesy this, all right? He just spoke to me what to do. But he said he wants us to stop acting like you're a victim. You're a child of God. Stop acting like you're a victim. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, Christ is the exact, I want you to listen to the scriptures that you're reading. Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. Jesus is the exact likeness of God that we don't see. Jesus existed before God made anything at all. And in fact, now this is a word, it's Colossians, and you read it, Annie. I read it in 5 different versions. It all says the same thing, all right? Verse 16 says, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth. The things we can see and the things we can't. The spirit world with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities, all were made by Christ for his own use and glory. He was before all else began, and it is his power that holds everything together. He is the head of the body made up of his people, that is his church, which he began, and he is the leader of all those who arise from the dead, so that he is first in everything, for God wanted all of himself to be in his Son. Now we're reading this because God said, stop acting like you're a victim. So all these scriptures are leading up to what God wants to say, all right? So verse 18 said, Jesus is the head of the body made up of his people, that is his church, which he began, and he is the leader of all those who arise from the dead so that he is first in everything. Now, Christ's church began in Acts. Before the New Testament, it was not Christ's church, all right? So Christ started the church in Acts. Colossians 2:14 says, because we broke God's laws, we owed a debt that listed all the rules we failed to follow. But God forgave us of that debt. He took it away and nailed it to the cross. All your sins are nailed on that cross. He defeated the rulers and powers of the spiritual world. With the cross, he won the victory over them and led them away as defeated and powerless prisoners for the whole world to see. That's in Colossians 2:14 and 15. That's the word. He defeated the enemy. What's the title? Stop acting like you are a victim. Now, spiritual forces against you. We can count on the fact that there are unseen evil forces that have been assigned to kill, steal, and destroy everything good in our lives. Are you listening here? We can count on the fact that there are unseen evil forces that have been assigned to kill, steal, and destroy our children, our marriages, our families, our homes, everything good in our lives. The Bible clearly teaches that these evil forces band together to commit acts of aggression against the saints, and that includes you and me. All right, this truth is our, and I said the Bible clearly teaches that these evil forces band together to commit acts of aggression against the saints, and that includes you and me. This truth is quite evident in Scripture. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Where does your strength come from? The Lord's mighty power within you. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. I like the way they put that. For we are not fighting against people made with flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, which are the evil rulers of the unseen world. Those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. Satan is coming against us, and that's what we're fighting. We are not fighting flesh and blood. And we know that, but God is the one who is putting these scriptures together tonight, so he wants you to understand that there is, and you know, as I was typing up this scripture, I thought about people that live overseas. Well, you know, I thought about Jesus who, you know, would walk the earth over there. And every place he went, he cast out devils, didn't he? Every place he went, he met devils all the time. And, you know, and command them come out. And I've heard where people who go there as missionaries say that the people overseas knows there is a devil. They know there are demons because they're walking up and down the streets manifesting in the people. But America says, oh, there's no such thing. We stick our head in the sand and go on. There is such a thing. I'm hearing God say that's the rulers of darkness. And America is just as bad as overseas, I'm hearing him say, with the rulers of darkness walking up and down the streets. So we have to be, so the title was Stop Acting Like You Are a Victim. All right? Let's stop that. All right, Paul wrote many verses about spiritual weapons, spiritual armor, and how we are to resist these unseen demonic forces. Yet it is very important that we approach this subject with the right attitude. Now let's just stop there. Whenever I said there that Paul wrote many verses about spiritual weapons and spiritual armor, and how we are to resist these unseen demonic forces, yet it is very important that we approach this subject with the right attitude. Now, you all know I'm fasting, and so I was sitting at my desk, and I was trying to get this together, which was very hard to get together, without God prophesying the whole thing, all right? But, and all of a sudden, I wanted to eat something. I'm not even hungry, and I had to keep rebuking that temptation. I said, God, why did this temptation overtake me? He said, because somebody is wanting to do pornography, and instead of them fighting, they're giving into it. And I thought, you little jerk, whoever you are, I have to fight this not wanting to eat because you are not fighting not doing pornography. Yesterday, Saturday, I wished I knew the exact time I'd tell you, and maybe you know who it was. Amen. But see, that's how it works. You have to resist. And I had to resist and resist and resist. And finally it left. Are you understanding this? He's just not going to go away because you say, shoo. He isn't. Now, because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, the forces of hell are already defeated. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, the forces of hell are already defeated. And I'm reading all these scriptures, looking up all these scriptures, and the devil was tempting me. See how he works? I had the scripture right in front of me telling me that I had all power and authority and that I didn't have to give into that temptation. But he was. What did he do with Jesus? Took him up on the mountain and said, if you are the Son of God. He well knew he was the Son of God. Amen? If you are, if you are, if you are. But Jesus said, no. Don't live by bread alone, right? Come on. All right, I said, because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, the forces of hell are already defeated. However, even though they have been legally stripped of their authority and power, they continue to roam around this earth carrying out evil deeds. Now, 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's walking around. He just can't come and poop on you. He's waiting to see who has an open door, who has a crack that he can come through. Verse 9 said, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. In other words, everybody's going through temptations. Everybody. And verse 10 said, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace has called you to his eternal glory, and who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. In other words, God's going to let you go ahead and suffer and see if you're going to give in to that temptation. And when he sees you fighting and fighting and fighting, then he's going to come to your rescue and say, done. Are you understanding this? Isn't that what the word says? And then he says, verse 11, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To God. And just like criminals who refuse to submit to the law, these evil spirits will continue to operate in this world until some believer, God told me this, until some believer uses his God-given authority to enforce their defeat. I had to use my God-given authority to overcome that thing. You understanding this? Each one of you in here are going to have to use your God-given authority to overcome every temptation that's sent your way. The only ones the principality should be in is the unsaved world. It should not be in a child of God. All right? Now, we need to get a hold of this truth. These demonic forces are legally stripped of their authority and are defeated. Jesus did that on the cross. We are not puny, struggling believers, I hope that we're not, who are somehow trying to learn how to cope with the devil's attacks against us. Y'all, you better not be those, because you've been here long enough to know that you need to use your power and your authority to defeat the enemy. You've been at this too long to be defeated. So we are not puny, struggling believers who are somehow trying to learn how to cope with the devil's attacks against us. We are not merely trying to learn how to scrape by or survive, because Jesus' death and resurrection gave us the legal authority to keep Satan under our feet. Are you here? Are you reading this? We are not just trying to scrape by and survive. We are supposed to be walking in total and complete authority in Christ Jesus. So we must also make sure we approach spiritual warfare as victors and not victims. Okay, I told you the story before. I'm going to tell it again tonight. You know, whenever God come to me and told me that, well, I had a conversation with the devil. I was washing my car, and he stood there for an hour talking to me, telling me what he was going to do to me, and I was telling him what he couldn't do, because after all, I'm a child of God, and I'm just so lofty and high-minded, you just can't touch me. And he said, we'll see. And then God told me, the devil has asked for you, and I've given him permission to have you. He can do everything but kill you. He's going to turn you inside out, upside down. But when it's all said and done, you'll be standing on your feet praising me. So, God told me you're going into a battle with the enemy. But you're already the victor. Because he said you'll be standing on, when it's all said and done, you'll be standing on your feet praising me. And I'm going to tell you, during the time of that battle, I was wishing I was dead a couple times. But I kept remembering God said, you, excuse me, you're going to come out of this victoriously. And I held on to that, and I kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and one day it was over. God's never going to let you go into battle without telling you that you're going in, and he always tells you what the outcome is going to be. Always, always, always. If you're really following God with all of your heart, and you're like Sister Elaine was saying, I think she said, God, give God all yourself or whatever. I said, God, I want to tonight give you 101%. I've already given you 100. I want to give you 101%. And he said, and I'm going to hold you to that too. He said, I accept it, but I'm going to hold you to that. Now, I don't know what I just got myself into. But, you know, I just want God to have everything I am. Because he told me right on, right when I first got born again, I don't want 99.9. I need 100% of you or none at all. He was not going to settle for 99.9. Wasn't a thing I could hold on to. Are you understanding this? All right, so I said, so we must always make sure we approach. I said, Jesus' death and resurrection gave us the legal authority to keep Satan under our feet. All right? We have legal authority to keep him under our feet. So we must always make sure we approach spiritual warfare as victors and not victims. Then Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. Or some words, Bible say, prosper. And you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is a heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Right on, when God first told me to start a church, he said, Isaiah 54 is your scripture, and I want you to walk in that all the days of your life. And Isaiah 54:17 has really come to my rescue many, many, many times. You know, I hope that God has given each one of you a scripture that you can hold on to as you walk through this sometimes dark valley with God. And just like I love that one song where whether you're in the mountain or, you know, I know you'll be there, you know. God is always with us no matter where we're at. Now, Colossians 2:15, Paul tells us that Jesus made a shoe of them openly, the devil. The word openly is taken from the word, thank you. I was hoping you was going to do that for me. And it's spelled P-A-R-R-H-E-S-I-A, a word that is used throughout the books of the New Testament to denote boldness or confidence. We have to be bold. So that's what I was saying about this morning. You guys are so strong-willed, and that's why God has called you to be leaders. And you're bold, too. You have tenacity. I said, God, I've never been around so many bold people with such tenacity. And I thank God that I'm bold, too, and I'm strong-willed. Or you might take me over. Amen. Excuse me. All right, you must understand that our victory is no quiet affair. Jesus took the enemy apart piece by piece as they thoroughly spoiled principalities and powers. By using the word parousia, Paul declares that when Jesus was finishing his dealings with Satan, his victory over the devil was no quiet affair. Quite the contrary. You know, I love that one show they show with, you know, when Jesus is being whipped and everything, that little black shadow that's walking behind the people grinning, you know, because the devil thought, now I have him. But no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Jesus was already conquering him 100%. Excuse me. Jesus boldly, confidently, and loudly exposed and displayed this now defunct foe to heaven's host. He was nothing, and he is nothing, and that's why he picks on you, on poor people who don't have any self-image or whatever, and he picks on them because that's what he is. He's nothing. And seeing he picks on people that aren't strong because he wants to bring them down to his level, and you think you're not strong, you are. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't care who's told you you amount to nothing, you are strong in God. And you have all power and all authority, and why would you ever bow your knee to that devil who has nothing? He's stripped of his authority. The only authority he has is what you give him. All right, I said, make no mistake, when Jesus made a show of them openly, it was quite a spectacular show of power. In Joshua 8, verse 1 and 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid or discouraged. Take the entire army and go to Ai, for it is now yours to conquer. See that? Every place, you got to me one time, every place you set your feet becomes holy ground, and it's your ground. And this is what he told Joshua. Take the entire army and go to Ai, for it is now yours to conquer. I have given the king of Ai and all of his people to you. God has given all of hell to us to conquer. And he keeps telling us, you're going to tear down hell's walls. I don't think you believe it, because you keep bowing your knee to the enemy. You know, the body of Christ. And verse 2 says, God said, you shall do to them as you did to Jericho and her king. But this time you may keep the loot and the cattle for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. He tells exactly how to do it. And he'll tell you exactly how to walk through your life. He really will. He really will. And Joshua 8:23 said, except for the king of Ai, who was captured and brought to Joshua. In other words, they took everything else except they brought the king. Joshua said, I want that king. You bring him to me, if you read the whole story. And Joshua chapter 10, verse 22 says, Joshua now instructed his men to remove the stone from the mouth of the cave and to bring out the cave, out the five kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lash, and Eglon. Joshua told the captains of his army to put their feet on the king's necks. In other words, these kings were in this cave with a stone in front of it, when you read the story. And Joshua told the captains of his army to put their feet on the king's necks. Next, and then Joshua said, don't ever be afraid or discouraged. In other words, you have your foot on the devil's neck and he can't touch you. Joshua said to his men, you know, don't ever be afraid or discouraged. Then he said, be strong and courageous, for the Lord is going to do this to all of your enemies. Don't you understand tonight that every enemy you have is under the feet of Jesus? You really don't have any enemy. God is fighting your battles for you, just as Joshua told his people. And then verse 26 says, with that, Joshua plunged his sword into each of the five kings, killing them. He then hanged them on five trees until evening. And then what he did was took all the kings and threw them back in that cave and rolled a stone back over it. And it says to this day that that heap of bones is still laying inside that cave. Now, so when Colossians 2:15 declares that Jesus triumphed over evil powers, it is explicitly declaring that Jesus took the enemy apart piece by piece as he thoroughly spoiled principalities and powers. He stripped them of everything that they had, period. But we get out here and we really think he's king, because we just bow our knees to the devil all the time, don't we? We just do whatever he tells us to do, because after all, what Jesus did means nothing. There was no power, no authority there. Jesus didn't accomplish anything on that cross. That's what we do when we sin. That's what we say. And that's not right, because that isn't what happened. When Jesus was finished with those demonic forces, they were utterly plundered, stripped of bare nakedness, and left with nothing in hand to retaliate with. He has no weapons. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And that's all he has, is lies and deception. We have the power and authority of Jesus Christ. We have so many weapons of warfare that we can use that are in the Word, and we need to start using them. Now, this is what I was thinking about, so I wrote it down. Do you think that heaven put on a party when Jesus returned to heaven? I believe they did. Because God said they rejoice up there, right? Where everybody goes to heaven said they're just rejoicing up there all the time. Then I said, don't you think all of heaven's hosts came to celebrate Jesus' victory and Satan's downfall and demise? Right there in front of everyone, Jesus displayed the devil and his cohorts so all could know that this enemy no longer had the legitimate right to prolong his rule of terrorism. You know, I wrote that down, but I was thinking, did Jesus really do that? I mean, did he really stand up and say, now he's finished? I believe he did. I really believe he did. Because I know one thing, when I see somebody delivered, I rejoice over that thing. I rejoice that those devils had to get out of that person and go back into the pit where they came from. And I'm quite sure Jesus celebrated too, because after all, he went to Calvary, you know, and he did everything he had to do, and now he was in heaven. He said, now my people are free. The enemy has no more stronghold on them. Amen. Now, I don't want you to think that the enemy is a weak nothing, because he is not. He's visited me 3 times and told me exactly what he was going to do 3 times. You have to resist him. I had to resist him with the power and authority of the name of Jesus each and every time. You have to know that you, no matter how much the devil comes at you, you have to know that you have all power and all authority, and he has none. God says, stop acting like you're a victim. When you act like you're a victim, in other words, whenever you keep giving into the devil, you're saying, I'm not the victor, I'm the victim. Quit. Just quit. So I put down here, you are a victor. Once again, Satan is not a force we are trying to defeat. He is already defeated. But because very few believers know how to effectively use their God-given authority to resist Satan, he tries to continue illegally operating and doing damage to the souls of men and even to the creation itself. No matter what demonic strategy may come against you, this day, or how many demons are assembled together for your destruction, you never have to go down defeated. God's word says he's made a way of escape out of every temptation. At least my Bible says that. And I believe that. And I throw that at the devil too. I don't know what it is, but there's a way out of this temptation. And I'm going to find it. And I just keep telling him, you can't come in. The door's locked. I don't care how hard you knock, you can't come in. I'm not going to entertain you. This vessel belongs to God and not to you. Right? Come on, saints. All right, I said, no matter what demonic strategy may come against you this day or how many demons are assembled together for your destruction, you never have to go down defeated. Jesus plundered the enemy when he rose from the dead. What did Jesus declare from the cross? It is finished. We don't believe that. You know, the body of Christ does not believe that, because if the body of Christ did, you wouldn't have the mess in the churches that you have. You wouldn't have all this sin nature in the church. Satan is defeated, and Jesus did it for us. So when you look into the mirror, you need to learn to see yourself as one who already has the victory. You already possess the authority necessary to keep Satan under your feet where he belongs. When you look in the mirror, you don't say, well, I'm a victim. I'm the victorious one today, and I'm going to walk in victory all day long. And Satan, you have no authority over me. Acts 5 verse 12 says, the apostles were given the power to do many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. I want you to listen to what you're reading, because this is you. And I want you to make, you know, you're one of the apostles, all right? The apostles were given the power to do many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. They were together in Solomon's porch, and they all had the same purpose. None of the other, you know, in other words, they all knew they were the victors. None of the other people dared to stand with the apostles. See this? You're so full of the power and authority of Christ that the body of Christ that's not following God, they don't dare stand next to you and proclaim that they are as good as you are. But everyone was saying wonderful things about them. See, people are going to say, wow, look how close they're walking with God. Look how they know who they are in Christ Jesus. Look at the power and authority that they're throwing around. They're going to say good things about you. More and more people believed in the Lord because of these what the apostles were doing, and many men and women were added to the group of believers, all because the apostles stood in the authority that Jesus gave them and did not give in to the enemy, because you see in there that they were constantly casting out spirits, right? Verse 15 says, so the people brought those who were sick into the streets. Now look at this. This should be happening to you. So the people brought those who were sick into the streets and put them on little beds and mats. They were hoping that Peter's shadow might fall on them as he walked by. They were just hoping that his shadow might fall on them as he walked by. People came from all the towns around Jerusalem. They brought those who were sick or troubled by evil spirits. All of them were healed. All of them were healed. And what's it say? People came from all the towns around Jerusalem. What's happened now when a revival breaks out in America? They come from all across the sea to come to that place where Jesus' miracles are occurring. Don't you want to be one of those vessels where God's using you, you know, to, with signs, wonders, and miracles, and the people are coming into your place just to see what God is doing, and then they receive too. Amen. And every place you go to minister, people should be, whenever you go the first time, Jesus should have showed up. And great signs and wonders and miracles happen. And so when you go a second time, you have more people because the word has spread out abroad. You need to go to that meeting because God shows up. All right? Where am I at? Matthew 16? Or do you have that now? Do you have that down in your spirit? All right. Matthew 16:16 says, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because Jesus said to him, who do you think I am? Right? And Jesus answered Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus knew, nobody knew who Jesus was, not unless his Father revealed it. And Jesus said, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, and the rock is Jesus, not Peter, but on the rock, which is Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that's Jesus saying that the gates of hell can't prevail. You're the church. Each one of you are the church. And Jesus said the gates of hell and it cannot prevail against you. Isn't that what it says here? In verse 19, Jesus, I will give you the keys, which is the power and authority of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. When you do deliverance, you don't have a set of keys saying, unlock, lock, unlock, lock. No, you use the power and authority in the name of Jesus. And you command those spirits to come out. All right. And, you know, and if you're praying for somebody to be healed, you don't have a key and say, unlock the healing. You don't do that. You use the power and authority of Christ in you to do the miracles and the signs and the wonders. Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. Jesus speaking, though I am the first and last, the living one who died, who is now alive forevermore, who has the keys of hell and death, don't be afraid. Jesus says, quit being afraid of me. Quit being afraid to use the power and authority that I've invested in you. Quit being afraid to let people see how much power and authority you have because you serve a living king. The church is going through about 10 years of pure hell. That you know, people have been coming against, you know, the devil's been coming against the church, saying, who do you think you are? You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. And the church gave in to that to a certain degree. And I'm part of the church, and I did that. I quit doing the things that God was having me do because people were saying, you can't do this. And they were saying all manner of evil about me. And so I gave in to the pressures of the enemy. But guess what? I don't do that no more. You devil, you, I'll slap you to kingdom come here. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I've always known that, but for a season I allowed you to make me believe I didn't know who I was in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm being honest with you. Are you being honest with yourself? Whenever you give in to the temptations of the devil, you're saying you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. You're saying you don't know what power and authority that Jesus gave you from the cross. That's what you're saying. I don't care if you believe that or not. That's what you're saying. And I'm not trying to make you believe something you don't believe. Go home and talk to God about it. He'll tell you the same thing. Remember, tonight, I want you to remember, you're no longer a victim. You do not have to bow your knee at the devil every time he brings a temptation your way. You don't have to bow your knee anytime he brings a temptation your way because you are the victorious one. And if you read the end of the Bible, it says that the devil is defeated. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire for 1,000 years, that devil. And I don't know why he has to be released again, but that's the way it's going to happen. But still in all, He has no power. How are you going to win souls if you don't understand that? Ask yourself that. If I don't believe that Satan has no power and authority, how am I going to win souls? How am I going to convince an unsaved person that Jesus is more powerful than the devil that has them in bondage? Ask yourself that. Now, don't go around real cocky like I used to do. You can't touch me. Ha ha. I did do that. I thought that was smart. But I soon found out one thing. I had to show some respect. Because whenever you get prideful and cocky, the enemy can come in. Well, what the enemy did with me is he went to God like Job. He went before God and said, I want her. You let me have her and she'll deny you. Because God told me. He said, you're going through a Job experience. And the enemy thinks that he can take you from me. He said, so I told him, just try. And he tried, and he lost. Do you think that that's not going to happen to you? Because whenever I was going through my Job experience, God said, now, I don't know where I was at in my Job experience, but God said, now the whole body of Christ is going to go through a Job experience. The enemy is going to try every member of the body of Christ. He won some souls, Satan did, because they didn't understand who they were in Christ Jesus. They were not taught about the power and authority they had from Jesus because he died on the cross. They didn't understand their weapons of warfare that in there that they can use, and they gave in to the devil. Said, well, no sense going on with this mess. I've already lost. No, you didn't. The time you lose is when your mouth says you did, or just your thought life says you did. You do not have to give in to the enemy for any reason whatsoever. None. So whatever you're going through, whatever your valley is, keep walking in the resurrection power and the resurrection authority, and one day it's going to be gone. It's going to be a miracle that God's going to do in your life, that whenever you travel, wherever God sends you, that's your testimony of God's healing power. And God said he was sending healing. He took healing out of the church. Did you know that? Years ago, he told me, I'm taking the healing. Because he said they are abusing it. So I'm taking it. But he also told me about 2 years ago, I'm bringing healing back into the church. And every day I say, God, this could be the day. I won't care if you bring healing back today. Because how many of us know people that need healed? You know, so many. So many need healed. But somebody's going to have to pay the price for God to bring the healing back in. Somebody's going to have to die to self to bring the healing back in to the body of Christ. Is that going to be you tonight? Is that really going to be you tonight? Are you going to quit being a victim, and are you going to become victorious in Christ Jesus? The altar's open.